Would you please turn with me to Psalm 23? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Would you please bow with me for opening prayer? Father, we thank you for this day and for the opportunity to worship you together as the body of Christ. And although some who are listening to this service may be celebrating great joys, while others may be going through deep personal trials and difficulties, we honor and glorify you together this morning. And we invite you to pour your Holy Spirit into our hearts that we may feel your presence during this service and in our lives in the coming days. We humble ourselves before you and ask that you continue to please have mercy upon us. And we thank you for all that you have done for us and continue to do for us, our hearts, that it may, by your grace, grow in our lives, eventually producing in us the fruit of the Spirit. We confess that none of us is perfect. We have all at times not fully believed nor acted as Jesus has shown us and taught us. And we are sorry for that. Please forgive us for our sins and cleanse us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And in this way, let our worship of you this morning be acceptable in your sight. And going forward from here, please also provide for each one of us what we need so that we may follow Jesus' teachings better in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. And welcome, good morning and welcome to all of you who are participating in this worship service. And if there are any visitors in our midst today, a special welcome to you also. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. My name is Shane Friesen, and for those of you who may not know, I was elected as a minister in Altona on March 15th. And I was ordained on June 26th. Reverend Jake Fraze has graciously allowed me to take his place this morning in leading worship. Let us all now unite together in worshiping God in song.
From the Red Book 347, Precious Promise God Hath Given.
My mind. 64, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus.
Thank you so much for those songs. They're such wonderful messages. Maybe you felt those messages important to you. It's important to me too, and I appreciate them, that we can sing those messages together. For those of you who may not be familiar with how we do things in the Sommerfeld Conference, it is a custom of ours for new ministers in their first full service in each of the congregations to introduce themselves and to give their testimony of how God has worked in their lives. And as this is my first time leading the service, the English service here, I will be doing just that. And I would like to start by briefly introducing myself and my family, and then for the remainder of the service to discuss my faith journey. I am married to Kim Friesen, who's sitting right over here. Would you mind standing, please? Thank you very much. And we have three children, Katie, our oldest daughter, who's 14, our son Cooper, who will be turning 12 on September 1st, and Emma, our youngest daughter, who just turned 10. I am a grain farmer just north of Altona, and Kim is an elementary school teacher in Rosenfeld. And it might interest you to know that we live in the last house standing of the original village of Rosenfeld, a property which has remained in our family since Mennonites settled the area in the 1800s. And my parents are Ron and Ann Friesen, now from Altona, and Kim's parents are Harold and Alice Falk from Winnipeg. And I have been asked several times what type of Friesen I am. So to help clarify that point, if you know the now retired Bishop William Friesen of the Rhinelander Church, he is a brother to my late grandpa, Tony Friesen, who was married to Katie Friesen. And they had two brothers who lived in Winkler and, as I understand, attended this church, Jake and Peter Friesen. And you might know them as well. I felt church for many years. And they are the late Jake and Helen Giesbrecht. And my grandma Giesbrecht's maiden name was Heppner. And I believe that we have satisfactorily determined through the Mennonite name game that I am also in that way related to Reverend Abe Heppner. Isn't that right? Okay. So my Christian faith journey began when I was very young. Like it did, I'm sure, for many, if not all of you. Because I was raised in a Christian home, and that's where the teaching of Jesus starts. And in thinking about how to talk about the different stages of my Christian walk, it occurred to me how closely my testimony mirrors the main ideas of Psalm 23. So I decided to organize my testimony in that way. Now there is surely so much that can be said about these six verses in Psalm 23. But for today, I would like to focus on the three themes that I see, which are, number one, the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want. Number two, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And number three, victory in the Lord. Victory in the Lord. Stage one, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I grew up on a farm in the school district of Weidenfeld, which is just a few miles northwest of Altona, and I appreciated the connection that working the land, that farming, aroused in me, how it made me feel connected to my Mennonite heritage and to my faithful Christian ancestors. And although I was not perfect by any means, I acknowledge and I am grateful to God that He gave me a heart that loved learning about Him in church and Sunday school and other church programs also. I was the sort of kid who didn't even have to be asked to study the Bible at home. I wanted to do it. And singing, I did lots of singing when I was young. Choirs, solos, duets, quartets. And I also loved learning about and studying our Mennonite history whenever I had the chance. And I studied the catechism, even though it wasn't taught in the church we attended anymore. In fact, written in the old Gothic High German script, which I taught myself how to read, at least as best I could anyway. Now, please remember, we didn't have Google back then, so learning a new language and learning a new script maybe was done differently than how you would think to approach it these days. But I enjoyed it. And I was baptized in grade 12 in the Berchtaler Mennonite Church of Altona, where my parents and us kids had always attended. Now, I remember holding on to two verses very strongly when I was growing up. And actually, they are such important ideas that they are repeated many times throughout the scriptures. And the first is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And the second is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. These are powerful verses. In my youth, I frustrated many people by saying, in answer to any difficult problem they presented to me, we just need to trust in the Lord. Or in answer to what appeared to be a contradiction of the Bible, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What Jesus said about becoming as little children in Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 to 4, has in more recent years resonated strongly with me. And I believe this is probably because I can remember having such strong biblical convictions as a child and youth. And probably also because now as an adult that I see so many other children and youth having that same trusting instinct for what they are taught about Jesus. Would you please turn with me to Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 to 4? Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 to 4. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You see, it has been my observation that at a certain young age, if they trust you, children don't think about why what you are about to tell them may be wrong. They simply believe what you tell them. And I believe that is one of the messages that Jesus was getting at in this passage, to trust and obey. And to be sure, some people take advantage of their children's trusting nature. There's a great video that I'm reminded of where the parents pulled a prank on their teenage daughter. They pulled up to a gas station in their vehicle in the fall and instructed their daughter to go into the gas station and ask if they have any winter air for their tires. It was starting to get cold out and they wanted to switch over to winter air. Kids, don't fall for this one. The video shows the parents laughing away to themselves as their daughter stomps back to the car, slams the door, and exclaims, There is no such thing as winter air. And I'm sure that she said a few more things than that as well. But the point of me telling you this story is that that teenager simply did what her parents asked her. She trusted them. And that is what we as Christians need to do. We need to trust God for all that He asks us to do and for all that He asks us to believe. Even if we don't see why it makes sense, or if we don't see, verse 5, lean not unto thine own understanding. Even if we need to wait a long time and be very patient before we see God working in our lives, that's okay. It's during times when we have to be patient that God gives us an opportunity to make our faith stronger. To make a long story short, my Christian conviction was very strong when I was a youth, but I don't say that to puff myself up, but in order to draw the contrast, to point out the change that occurred as I grew into adulthood. To be blunt, I began to question if keeping those strong convictions was worth it. So many other people didn't seem to be doing that, even people that would call themselves Christian. I think ultimately that God was trying my heart at that time, to see if my convictions were real or not. And I failed miserably. I did what I just said we as Christians must not do. I became impatient in waiting for God's timing for my life. But I did learn a lesson from that experience, for it demonstrated to me firsthand how important it is to have strong youth programs in our congregations. In Altona, we have youth programs running right up to 26 years of age, after which they can join the adult Bible study. And that was one of the things that Kim and I liked about the Altona Church when we were considering which church to join. And I have felt privileged and grateful to help in college and careers over the past couple of years. And I don't know how many youth are in the audience, but I have something to say to you as well. For you, for those who are youth or young adults in the audience, please keep attending the church programs that are available to you. Even though your young lives might be so full and busy, we all know that they can be full and busy. We've been there too. And you might not know it, but the youth leaders have probably been through a lot of the same things that you are going through, and they may be able to help you avoid making some of the mistakes that they made. That's certainly one of my goals as a leader and now as a minister as well. Looking back, I can say that a strong young adult ministry could have been a very big benefit to me. And I would encourage this congregation to keep doing that. Theme number 2, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Usually I think about Psalm 23, verse 4, in the sense that when we find ourselves in trouble because of what others are doing to us, or because of great tragedy or illness, that in those very difficult times, God is there to support us. And of course, as Christians, we do have that promise. But there's another way that I believe that this verse can be understood. And that is, when we find ourselves walking in the midst of trouble because of our own decisions. God is there to support us, or should I rather say recover us as Christians then also. This is something that I have witnessed in my life. And a story from the Bible that reminds me of this is the story of Lot and his choice to live in Sodom, where though he was a believer, he chose to live among and seems to have fully integrated himself and his family with non-believers. And in the end, this caused him so much pain and anguish, the death of his wife being just one example. Moreover, the Bible teaches us that living in a way that is unpleasing to God results in the worst possible consequence that any sincere Christian could imagine. We become distanced from God. Please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. He will not hear. Thus, when we do not live and believe the way that God instructs us, it separates us from God in the sense that we will not have the assurance that he will hear us when we call out to him in prayer. And we may even have to experience his rod of correction and his staff of rescue, as pointed out in Psalm 23, verse 4. I certainly did. Now, there are many reasons why we can lose heart in our Christian journey and walk right into the valley of the shadow of death. Or rather than lose heart, I should say, lose focus. For ultimately, I believe that staying focused on the gospel message is what God wants us to strive for. And what that means is that we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and not on the things of this world. Just like when Peter got out of the boat and walked on water to Jesus, as long as Peter looked at Jesus, he was fine. But as soon as he started looking at the rough waters around him, he started to sink. Isn't that so? And just like that, and just like we can be distracted by the discouragements, the rough waters of this world, we can also become distracted by the temptations of this world. When Reverend Jake Fraze from Altona and I were ice fishing a couple of years ago, his grandson said that fish were sure dumb to bite the lure just because it is shiny and dangling in front of them. And when I heard that, I thought, oh, that's an interesting way of putting it. But Reverend Jake had a very good answer to that. He immediately said, yeah, but people do that all the time. And unfortunately, Reverend Jake is right. We as Christians too often lose focus and go for the easy satisfactions dangling in front of us, whatever they may be they going to parties that we shouldn't be going to, enjoying the pleasures of food and drink too much, dating for the wrong reasons, prioritizing sports and entertainment above communion with God and his church, having a love of money, or being angry with God rather than grateful for his abundant grace and blessings to you. And the list of shiny lures that the devil dangles in front of us could go on and on and on. Now, specifically, this is how my life and faith journey went after high school. I have always had a fondness of scientific discovery and for understanding how the natural world works. So after high school, I studied agriculture at the University of Manitoba. But I didn't stop there. I also studied at the University of Guelph in Ontario and in Perth, Australia. And I researched and taught crop agriculture at NDSU in Fargo, North Dakota. Yes, it's true, I have lived in many beautiful parts of the world and met many interesting and friendly people, some of whom I'm still long-distance friends with today. And please don't misunderstand, I'm not talking negatively about university education when I give this testimony, but through my personal journey in university education, I made some key mistakes in my relationship with Jesus in the way that I should have. I stopped reading the Bible regularly, and I stopped attending church regularly, and I stopped praying meaningfully. Although when I moved out of Manitoba, I did try for a while to attend church where I was living, it just became too difficult. Wow, I'm good at making excuses, right? No, the fact is, I tried. It didn't work out too well. And so I stopped trying. It's as simple as that. And secondly, I slowly started buying into one of the devil's lies. And that shouldn't be surprising. Jesus warned us about that. Would you please turn with me to Luke 6, verse 45, please? Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. When I read those words, I think immediately that our heart is like a rain barrel. Whatever liquid goes into it, whatever goes into that barrel, that's what will come out. That's how Jesus says it is for our hearts. Whatever goes into your heart, that's what you should expect to come out of it. So plan ahead and only put good things in. As I said, because I wasn't reading the Bible as much and I wasn't going to church as often, I was not refilling my heart with as many good things anymore. And it's like you see in the world around you. The earth will always try to fill up bare soil with weeds. Just like that, if you aren't filling your heart with the truth, the devil will fill it with lies. I bet most of you won't guess. It's a good one. The false teaching that I am referring to is this. If I am kind and generous, if I am a so-called nice guy, then I am doing what I need to do to live out my Christian life. But that's not true. In other words, don't be so open and outspoken about your Christian views, Shane. You don't need to tell others about Jesus. Don't tell others that the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. They will figure it out already by watching your life. As long as you know why you're doing it, that's good enough. Does this sound familiar to anyone? It is, unfortunately, a trap that too many Christians fall into these days, I believe. But this is clearly not what Scripture teaches us. Let's take one example, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And this is Peter talking about who the church is. Who is the church? But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Did you catch that? The church is a priesthood. That makes each of you a priest, doesn't it? As a priest, God has called you in some manner, in some way, to show others how God has brought you out of darkness, how he's given you the light of Jesus. That is each of our responsibilities. The thing that we need to realize is, once you start questioning or watering down one part of the Bible, it's just a short hop, skip, or a jump before the devil has you begin questioning other things that Scripture teaches as well. It's what they call a slippery slope. So by not continuing in a strong relationship with Jesus and by being content to too often keep my Christianity to myself, I did end up walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Another way of looking at it is this. I didn't keep the light of Jesus shining brightly in my life. I let it grow dim with time. And because of that, not only did I lose out on the peace and joy and so many other things that come with being in a close relationship with Jesus Christ in those years of my life, I also did not truly show the love of Jesus to my neighbors, to so many of those whom I encountered on my journeys. As I mentioned above, I interacted with many interesting and friendly people when I traveled the world for education. And thinking back, almost none of them, to my knowledge, were Christian. They needed to learn about Jesus. I was close to so many people that did not know Jesus as their personal Savior, and many who flat out denied Jesus and God altogether. And when I now reflect back on those years, I think, what a terrible waste. To travel the world, coming into close relationships with so many people living in darkness, and to not tell them in some manner about Jesus, about the way to get eternal salvation, this is a great shame to me now. And I am indeed sorry that I misused those years. But Jesus, being the good shepherd that he is, he did not forget about me or lose me. No. And this is the good news that I have to share with you this morning. Jesus worked on my heart very subtly at first, and finally, he asked me very clearly to make a choice. Not in so many words, but as in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, where God says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord." Out of his great mercy for me, Jesus invited me to answer this question once and for all. Is the truth of the world right, or is Jesus the truth, like he claimed to be in John 14, verse 6, where he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In other words, do I choose to live in the world, or do I choose to live in Jesus? Make your decision. God, in his great mercy, led me to the point where I realized that I needed to seek him again like I did when I was so many years younger. And by his grace, I did just that. Praise be to God. Now, for those who are able, would you please go on bended knee and bring anything in silent prayer to God that's on your heart? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Take the blue hymn book and turn to page 188. Glory to his name. Could we stand? Thank you.
I believe that most of us forget or simply don't recognize how in control God is in this world. And I want to remind you of that this morning and what God says on that matter. Would you please turn with me to Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 to 14. Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 to 14. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers unto all the people. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword and not with which ye built not. And ye dwell in them of the vineyards, and olive yards which ye planted not do ye eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. That God says that he did this, and he did that. God provided, and God guided, and God put people in leadership that would follow his wishes. And God kept others from hurting them, and his purposes were carried out. That's how God says the world works for his people. And that is what Jesus has done in my life as the perfect shepherd of his flock. And so I move to the last theme of Psalm 23, victory in the Lord. Victory. Looking back, I can see God's hand in my life in so many instances, so much so that it is hard to know at which point to begin my testimony of his blessings in my life. So I have decided to begin from that day when I was in a hotel room in Minneapolis with my young family. And in that Minneapolis hotel, I had an urge to look in the dresser drawer for what we all know is supposed to be there. And when I looked in that drawer, I found what I was seeking, a Gideon's Bible. And God urged me to look inside. Now, I like when things are organized and summarized in logical ways. And the reason I'm telling you this is because when I opened up that hotel Bible, I noticed that they had organized many major life topics neatly under headings and summarized those ideas of the topics nicely, referencing where in the Bible those Christian beliefs came from. And I loved it. I felt so encouraged by those summaries that when our stay was over, I packed up that Bible and I took it home. Through that event, God led me to start reading the Bible again. And since that time, I have filled that specific Bible up with many highlights and many underlines. But the Bible is a big book, and although I had read through the Bible more than once in my youth, at this juncture, I wasn't sure where to start again. Somehow, through God's help, no doubt, I decided that because the Psalms are very popular and poetic, that they should be an easy place to start. And so, I did start there. And when I read Psalm number 1, this is what I found. Would you please turn to Psalm number 1? Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. When I read that psalm, I found that the person who is blessed in a way that whatsoever they do succeeds is someone who loves the word of God. Someone who loves the Bible. And there, I took that psalm at that time to mean that if I wanted to prosper, I should read the Bible every morning and every evening. And by God's grace, I have faithfully done so with very few exceptions since then. And God also convicted me to renew my prayer life. But I was not very good at praying at that time. So I did what I could, praying at least every time that I read the Bible, and I did slowly improve. But what eventually really helped me was when I began attending the men's prayer meeting in our Altona Summerfeld congregation. And I don't think you have those in this congregation, but I would encourage you to consider prayer meetings of all kinds. Those men at that prayer meeting, they could pray. I was really embarrassed at first, but I took courage, I tried my best, and through time, God helped me to catch up to them, or at least I can say I came closer to them. Joining this group of men was something that I am certain God had his divine hand in, because even before we started attending the Summerfeld Church, I believe that God was preparing me for this prayer meeting. Well, you might be asking, how can I say that? Well, I remember quite clearly. The church where we previously attended, they attempted to start a men's breakfast/prayer meeting. And I thought that that was a great idea for so many reasons. It was obvious to me that such meetings would not only bring us into a closer fellowship with God, but that they would also help the congregation to grow closer together as well. Oh, I wanted to join, but there was one problem. The problem was I was too cowardly to go to those meetings. To be blunt, I was very embarrassed at the thought of praying out loud at that time of my life, especially knowing how some of the men who would be involved could pray so wonderfully and effortlessly, it seemed to me. So, I never went, and those meetings eventually shut down. But I took something away from that experience that I did not forget, which is this. I had missed an opportunity, and that I was wrong to not follow the conviction that God had given me. But the memory of this incident stuck with me. So when we began attending the Altona Summerfeld Church, and I noticed that they had a men's prayer meeting once a month, the memory of my previous failure to do God's will helped me to overcome my fear of not knowing anyone very well in the congregation and just going to the meeting anyway. And it helped that I had someone invite me along to those meetings also, and I praise God for him. (Clears throat) One of the prayers that I believe really improved my relationship with God was to ask him to give me a deeper desire to know him better. That is, that I might have a desire to read the Bible and to pray and to learn about him in whatever other way that I could. I came to realize how important this desire is when God showed me what is now one of my favorite verses, Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Daniel 10, verse 12. Daniel 10, verse 12 is where an angel is speaking to Daniel. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. In this verse, we have the promise that God will hear us if we seek to know him and if we seek to live for him. Is there anything better than knowing that the Creator of everything will personally hear your prayer to him? That doesn't happen in the world. I can't phone the Queen of England and expect to have a conversation with her. I can't bring my concerns, my supplications, or my praises of her to her. There's no way I'd ever get through to her. But God our Father, he wants us to pray directly to him. He wants to hear us. That's so special. I don't know if we take advantage of that enough. This is such an awesome promise. And I would encourage you that if you are struggling in your relationship with God to pray for his help. He certainly has answered that prayer for me, and I believe he will answer that prayer for you also. God led me to his table of blessings in so many other ways also. First, and this may be something that many of you need to hear, God led me and Kim to the Sommerfeld Church. And what a blessing that has been for us in our Christian walk. When it was clear to us that a change needed to occur, that is, when we believed God was calling us to part ways with our previous church, I made a list of local congregations that I thought would be good choices for us, and although we knew of no one attending the Altona Sommerfeld congregation, and we had never attended a Sunday morning service there, it was the one at the top of my list, and I have no doubt that God put it there. So we walked in one Sunday morning, and we were blown away by the number of scriptures that were used in that sermon. Wow. I couldn't keep up at that time with all the places in the Bible that the minister referenced. I couldn't find them in time. It was terrific. And the attitude of the services was so God-honoring and respectful. I left knowing that the Word of God was brought at that church. The kids, too, they jumped into Sunday school and the youth programs, and they loved them. God called me to teach Sunday school and college and careers also, and to be a member of the Sunday school executive, and to be a song leader for Sunday school, and to be on the Christmas program committee. And most recently, God has called me to be a minister in the conference. My cup indeed runneth over. Praise be to God. In conclusion, I'm reminded of a hymn that I have grown to love since we started attending the Sommerfeld Church. Would you please take your red hymnals and turn to number 390? Hymnal. I won't ask us to sing it, but I want to read through those words, and I'll read the verses first, and I'll end with the chorus, okay? Must I go and empty-handed, thus my dear Redeemer meet? Not one day of service give him, lay no trophy at his feet. Not at death I shrink nor falter, for my Savior saves me now. But to meet him empty-handed, thought of that now clouds my brow. Oh, the years of sinning wasted, could I but recall them now, I would give them to my Savior. To his will I'd gladly bow. Oh, ye saints, arouse, be earnest, up and work while yet 'tis day. Ere the night of death o'ertakes thee, strive for souls while still you may. Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? not one soul with which to greet him? Must I empty-handed go? These words are so powerful to me that I decided at one point to investigate where that hymn originated, who it was written about. And so I found that that hymn comes from words spoken by a man roughly 30 years old. And this man at that age became a Christian. And 30 days later, he died. Most of those 30 days, he was on a sickbed. And when he was being visited by a minister in his last days, this young man had said this: "I am not afraid to die. Jesus saves me now, but must I go empty-handed?" Could you imagine a 30-year-old facing death? His biggest concern is that he has not done any work for Jesus. That is so powerful. That lifts my heart so much to think about that. Could you imagine if everyone, if every member in our Gemeinde had that attitude? That's the Christian heart right there. Wake up, and what can I do for Jesus whenever that opportunity comes to me? How powerful. As I mentioned, there was a time in my life when I failed to tell others about Jesus, when I had the opportunity to do so. But by his grace, God has given me a second chance. He has given me a position in the church where I can tell others the good news about Jesus Christ and from behind the pulpit. And I truly feel very blessed. I am very humbled also, and I am grateful for the opportunity. Now, because of today's message was my personal testimony, it did cover a very wide range of theological topics. And so in sending you from this service, I could invite you to reflect on many different questions for your own spiritual lives. Questions like, have you made Jesus your personal Savior and thus allowed him to be your shepherd? I could ask you if you're living in a way that is pleasing to God. Or do you love the Bible and read it night and day? Or I could ask what kind of fish you're most like. Do you bite anything shiny that dangles in front of you? You know that most of those fish get taken out of the lake, right? And if they somehow make it back into the lake, they have very sore mouths. Yeah, those are all very good questions, but what I would like to do today is to leave you with this challenge. The Bible is full of testimony of what God has done to redeem mankind from our sinful nature and to reconcile us back to him through Jesus Christ, so that we may avoid going to hell and rather live eternally with him, where it is perfect in every way and forever. Now, I could be wrong, but I am convinced that when each of us faces God personally, it will be made known to us what he has done in our lives. That is, all the times and ways in which God has shown his love to us. I have testified to you today of some of the things that God has done for me in my faith journey, and now I invite you to think about what he has done for you as well. How take them for granted. I promise you that the list of good things that God has done for you would be much, much larger than the one that you can imagine. For he gives us abundantly in ways that most of us do not perceive. And it's good to think about these things, as it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, God wants us to think about all that he's done for us. He wants us to seek him in this way. Oh, and once you have a good list of the ways in which God has blessed you, please don't be like I was and keep it to yourself. No, don't fall for that lie. Let the light of Jesus shine in everything that you do and wherever you are, in your Christian journey, including in telling others about how God has worked in your life when God opens up those opportunities to you. In short, try your best not to go to meet thy God empty-handed. To close, would you please turn with me to Psalm 105? In Psalm 105, I would like to read the first five verses. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Part of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Amen. For those of you who are able, I invite you to once again go on bended knee to bring to God anything that is on your heart. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Take your blue book and turn to number 109. I am praying for you.
Watching.
I understand that there's no announcements for this congregation, but since we have a rotating ministerial, I think it's nice to share with each other what's going on in the life of our churches. So I bring greetings from Altona. In the life of our church, we have a Sunday school picnic coming up on September 11th that we would welcome prayers for. But more importantly than that, we have a mission which we support in our congregation, but it's also supported by the Gemeinde as a whole, and we call that the India Mission, where we have a leader out there, a pastor, who runs an orphanage, and it's struggling because of nature right now. And so I want to read just a little update about what's going on in that mission, so that you can better pray for them, if you'd be willing. So in India, it started raining on July 7th, 2022, and it is still raining. Many have been displaced from their homes in India and don't have clean drinking water. They are coming to Pastor Boaz asking for help. They are struggling with sickness, especially malaria. They are feeding an extra 108 people at the orphanage right now. And by the way, that orphanage just this spring couldn't afford meat. They were feeding the orphans rice and pickles. That was what they could do. And so now to have an extra and surrounding area also have a foot of water. Some of the children at the orphanage are sick with a fever. All schools have been canceled and things are at a standstill. And I want to add to that something that was brought to my attention yesterday. There is one of those young orphan males, boys, 13-year-old, is in the hospital, very ill from his sickness. So they would welcome prayers for Daniel as well as the orphanage at large. But I want you to notice something. 108 people who have never been to that orphanage are now at that orphanage. And those 108 people may for the first time be hearing about Jesus. That is through the things that happened in the world, the tragedy for them that happened in the world, has actually given them an opportunity to learn about Jesus. So God works in many different ways. Let us not be discouraged when we think it's maybe not going the way we think it should go. To close today's service, I hope that the worship service has been a blessing for you and that it will continue to bless you. If you're willing, I ask you to please continue to pray for us. And to have grace toward us as we grow into God's calling for our lives. Now, for the closing of today's service, if you have your Bibles with or if you have it memorized, I would invite you to turn to Psalm 23 and that we read it all together. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Jesus' name, let it be so. You may go in the peace of the Lord. Amen.